Brew and Dits, top three things you need to know.
We already mentioned Donald Trump, Make America Great Again. I don't know if that's off the rails at the moment or not. I'm pretty sure it is. But here he is yesterday, urging the governors to use force.
Today, I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them.
Right, that sounds forceful and aggressive. Now, Roo, you said to me a couple of minutes ago, how would I do it? Would I do it differently, or what would I do if I was Trump? The short answer is I don't know, but what I do know is that my entire life living in the Western world, they've been our big brother. We look to them as the beacon, as the shining light and the leader in the free Western world.
Yep.
And right now, I wouldn't want to be in America.
Nah.
And to see the way they've handled the corona situation as well, I mean, it's just been plain stupid, really.
Yeah, look... Yeah, I mean, but you've also said they've always been a bit like that, haven't they?
Yeah, but they've had some sensible leaders along the way. Mm. I'm not saying it's all his fault,
no,
but
he is
at the helm.
It's his fault,
but he is at the helm. And
he is at the helm.
The way, as I said, look, when I look at his...
But what he's saying there, what he said there, I actually think that's right, isn't it?
Which bit?
The bit where he's talking about how to get on top of all the looting and everything.
Yeah, but it
to
just
dominate
shouldn't,
it.
But it shouldn't have come to this. Shouldn't have come to this. I wonder, all right, you say what would you do differently?
But has there been more black deaths of civilians under his guard than prior?
No.
So
it's how you respond, isn't it? So let's look at a Scott Morrison, Bob Hawke, Paul Keating, name any former leader, John Howard, any of the leaders here, Menzies, go back in time and look at our state premiers. I'd expect better and stronger leadership from them, and we always have had that. So if a George Floyd situation happened in Australia, Scott Morrison, I believe, or I'll name any of those other prime ministers, would have been on the front foot on the national television straight away saying, we do not condone this. This is terrible.
Yeah, he did say that, though.
Well, obviously not strong enough. And he hasn't, you know, they took too long to do something about it. And that's why these riots are happening.
Yeah, well, it's out of control over there. And he's definitely a different character to just about every other prime minister or leader in the world, isn't he? So, they have to use force at the moment. It's just out of control. You can't go around smashing everything.
Yeah.
A lot of the black people are saying this has got nothing to do with him anymore, the lad that died.
George Floyd.
So, I don't know. It's hard to keep up with it all, isn't it? And the amount of out-of-control stuff that's going on over.
Yeah.
It's bloody sad.
It is. Amelia Brace is the Channel 7 reporter. You may have seen the video or the pictures, sorry, of her just being harassed and chased and belted by police, pelted with rubber bullets as well.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. We've just had to run about a block of police moved in. We've been fired at with rubber bullets. My cameraman has been hit. We've also seen tear gas being used. Here we go, they're moving through again. This is exactly what it looks like. Exactly what it looks like. We're just staying safely.
Oh.
Whoa. Oh.
Amelia, can you hear us?
Amelia, are you okay? Or your cameraman?
So they were live with Koshy when it happened.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. They do get themselves right in there. I've been watching them the last few days. I'm not saying it's their fault by any stretch, but they put themselves in a position where they get the best footage, but, you know, they're at risk. I was watching her the other day thinking she's obviously got a bit of ticker to do what she's doing.
Normally,
because a lot of
high vantage
or girls
point or something have it in the background.
That.
Yeah, I know.
They get right amongst it. I don't know how they have the rules there. What are the rules with the cops and the reporters?
Well, the press are meant to be free. They're meant to be free to. And I heard her talk this morning as well, and she said that normally they see, oh, you're from the press, and the police go past you. But on this occasion, they included the press in
pretty
the
heightened situation, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Very, very sad. Hey,
what's happening at home?
You head into Woolies soon, you'll be able to get the old paper bags coming back into fashion. Now, they haven't been in fashion for 40 years, so if you forget your recycle bag, like I do just about every time I go in there, and they say, would you like a bag with that? You've got a choice between a reusable plastic one for 15 cents or a paper one for 20 cents.
Well, that makes sense because they are recyclable. paper.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
They're more expensive, but you can only carry 6 kilos in your paper bag before you walk to the car. It drops out your bag because it's too heavy and smashes on the ground. So be careful with that one, Dits. And we didn't cover this yesterday, but a bit of good news for the Adelaide real estate market. It's only one of a couple of cities that have actually gone up during coronavirus.
Really?
And good. When I say up, I mean 0.8 of 1%, but that's
right.
Better than going down.
Better than going down.
3 or 4 or 5 like some of the other capital cities are. So good old Adelaide, it doesn't rock it up, and yep. But it doesn't rock it down either.
No.
It's pretty steady.
Stable.
As she goes. So,
yeah. That's what's good. Making news. Later on this morning, Roo, I need to ask you about Andrew McLeod.
Yes.
This story has surfaced.
Yeah, that made my day yesterday afternoon, reading that.
Go and have a beer with Andrew.
Yeah.
All right, I'll ask you about that later on. Roo and Dits on Triple M. Roo, tell us about the new text line as well.
Yeah, you're welcome to text at any time throughout the show for any reason at all, whether you just want to say, on your dickheads, or whether you want to say, request a song, or can you talk about this, or can you ask about why the flights are doing that,
yeah.
Or... why is Holden doing? If you've
we
got
won't
anything,
have the answers, but
no.
Please text us.
We'll do what we usually do, just make them up.
That's right.
0488851047.
Ruined it's on Triple M. Roo, let's go straight to America now. Amelia Brace, we've been talking about all morning and overnight, involved in a terrible situation yesterday with police. Let's see how she's pulled up. Amelia, I hope you and your cameraman are okay. How are you this morning?
Yeah, we're not too bad. We're a little worse for wear. We're certainly feeling worse today than we were last night. I think the adrenaline has worn off and the bruises have set in a bit. But there's no serious injuries. We're just a bit bruised and battered. We've got some welts from where we were hit by those rubber bullets. And on the whole, just feeling a bit sorry for ourselves. But we're not doing too badly.
Now, we're told down the line that things have deteriorated where you are right now, that it's actually more dangerous than yesterday. Is that correct?
It certainly feels more tense, and there's absolutely more people here, both protesters and law enforcement. It's really interesting, though, because one of the reasons that yesterday was so violent was that the police moved in early. They moved in before the curfew. We are now about 20 minutes after the curfew, and there's no sign of the riot squad, which we saw yesterday coming in. So we're not 100% sure what's going on, which is obviously a bit unnerving after what we went through yesterday. But at this stage, there are thousands of people still outside the White House protesting. They've flanked each side by heavily armed National Guard soldiers and police, but we haven't seen the police move in from each end, which is what we saw last night at the end.
Were you guys 100% in the right yesterday where you were, and have you had an apology at all from any of the police over there about their conduct? And just another part B to the question, why don't you have high-vis tops on or something like that to stand out a little bit more?
That's just sort of a common thing over here, to be honest. Sometimes you might see a photographer wearing a press shirt, but it's just not a done thing. And also, we shouldn't have to do that to avoid getting punched in the face by
no,
a police officer.
No, definitely not.
Should be able to do your job. We were absolutely in the right spot where we were. We are exempt from the curfew legally as media, but the curfew wasn't in place, as I was just saying. So even if we were civilians, we had every right to be standing where we were without being touched by police. And the fact they really chased after us, given that we'd moved out of the way, made it all the more harrowing and alarming.
I suppose a big camera and a microphone gives it away a little bit as well, doesn't it? I mean, at any stage, did you get the chance to say, excuse police, we're here, we're media, we're doing our job?
As they were really laying into my cameraman, I was screaming, media, 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 which you can actually hear on what went to air for Sunrise. So they could hear that and they knew that. And once they finished having a go at him, another police officer chased me as I was running away and belted me across the back of the neck with a baton. So they did not care that we were media. They don't care who they're picking up along the way. They are indiscriminate and they are very, very violent.
No wonder they got issues.
Yeah, that's right. Amelia, we just wanted to check in with you, and it's great that you're okay and not too sore and sorry this morning, but stay safe and thanks for talking to us.
No problem, guys. Appreciate it.
Channel 7's Amelia Brace. Frightening stuff.
Yep, it really is frightening stuff.
Triple M. Get out your Zimmer frames, chuck on a cardi, comb your hair over and crank up the tranny.
The grumpy guy story's starting to come into focus a little bit here.
On Ruined Dits, it's time for Grumpy Old Men.
Oh, gee, there's a bit of rivalry too going on here. The grumpy men are getting grumpier.
Why?
Well, because Tony Franzon's back. He heard Peter Hurley last week. He said,
hey,
what's going on?
Yeah, you're not an original grumpy old man.
Good morning, Franz. Yeah, is the bath back open in the Cremorne?
Nearly there, mate. We're nearly there. But I just want to know, does anyone work? Obviously, all the grumpies that I know don't work.
Well, they're old men. They're retired. They're smelling the roses, friend.
Mate, I thought retirement age was 67.
Oh, come on, mate. Like, when's enough enough? You got to sit down and relax. Like Reedy
and
Brady.
I'm back at work chopping wood and running security cables.
Righto, that's Michael Pratt. You can hear. We got Johnny Reed as well. Good morning, Reedy.
Good morning, boys.
Hey, Reedy, while we got you on the line, Bob Hammond passed away on the weekend, a giant of SA football. What did he sort of mean to you, Reedy? How do you remember a bloke like Bob Hammond?
Oh, with the fondest of memories, mate. He was just a riffing guy. He was the anchor, you know, I reckon, of our footy club. You know, when things got a bit turbulent, the anchor was there and it always kept it steady. And he was the glue. He was so well measured, and great company socially. He and Jill, his wife, lovely wife Jill. I mean, they're just great company. But when it got to the business, Bob was spot on. And mate, I don't reckon I've read a CV as good as his.
I mean,
it's up with the best footy CVs. And then people don't also realise. I mean, he was highly successful in business. As well, I mean, he did very, very well in everything that he tackled. So, mate, he's up with the icons. He really is, and so sad that he passed away. And you know, he had a bit of a battle on his hands. It was a shame.
Yep. No, thanks very much, Reedy. You knew him very well, as did Pratty. But Pratty, we want to head on to stories about drive-ins. Drive-ins were open on the weekend, and we've all had a bit of a history with the old drive-in. You guys got something quick you can share with us?
I have. In our time, we go back to the 70s when they were created. There were 15 in the suburbs and 22 out in the books, out in the sticks where I came from. Chris, you had one down at the Harbour Line at Osborne.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Roo, you had the Bonnie Line out at Burra.
Barmer.
Probably where Murray, Barmer, was it?
Yeah.
Where Murray Ricciuto would have fired a shot, probably. but mine...
What, with a gun on, I think you're talking about?
Mine, you were probably conceived there.
worst places.
Mine was the Clare or Kadena drive. And I mean, in those days, had the old straight bench holding ute. The only alcohol you'd get was your brother would get you a bottle of long neck beer, which you'd put in the water trough to cool it down. But when the boarders would come home, the hot to trot Loretto girls or Seymour, will you get a bottle of Leaping Hand Rosé? My dad had a Chrysler Royal V8 Pushmatic. You had to pay per head to get in, so you'd put two in the boot.
Yep.
And that's where they'd stay there. But they were good days, but didn't work too well in Clare in the winter with rain and fog and no one had heaters.
But, you couldn't see the movie.
And you drive off with a speaker still in the window.
All right, we're going to move on, Reedy. You would have gone to the drive-in in your day.
Oh, he's not a big favourite of mine. I could never see over the bloody dashboard. Short, you know.
Put a little cushion under your bum,
sit on a telephone book.
Well,
if you were
firing a shot, you go to the drive and
you've
got to take a bloody
cushion
for you.
That wasn't a real turn-on for the girl in the passenger seat.
What car did you have, Reedy?
Was it a Holden FE? You know, that got me around, only just.
So you didn't do your best work at the drive-in, Reedy. We'll move on to Friends. How'd you go, Friends?
Oh, mate, I remember going to Hectorville Drive when I was about 15 and we were going to see The Exorcist.
Oh, God.
It's just come out in the 70s.
That's not very romantic.
Come on,
so anyway, we're pulling in and the bloke in the front says, look, two of you got to get in the back. So this young Sheila jumps in. She's hot as a stove pot. And I put my hand up and I said, oh, geez, I'll get in there with you. So I'm up in the boot with her.
In the boot?
I was on there in the boot saying, it's jammed, it's jammed, it's jammed. But we got out and we ended up watching The Exorcist. And, mate, I didn't sleep for 3 days. I shit myself.
Neither did she, probably.
And I actually went to church on the Sunday for absolution.
Jeez, you must have done something wrong.
You're not kidding.
Next week I want to hit you up, boys, about how hard it is, how brave you have to be to go up and speak to a woman and ask her out on a date, because that's all you would have done back in your day. Yes. So we'll keep that one up our sleeves for next week.
All right, we'll talk to you then, Grumpies.
See you, boys.
See you, boys.
Big news as far as the Tiger King is concerned. We're talking Joe Exotic, one of the biggest shows to hit our screens this year. It was so big, in fact, that Rudy Vanderstone did a review.
Joe Exotic is married with two husbands.
What?
Yes, that's right. One is a toothless icy, and one is a very handsome man, but a massive stoner, and they are both in this marriage against their will. Joe supplies them with drugs and keeps them prisoner. He also wears a gun everywhere and writes and records country and western songs about being gay and big cats. Don't pretend you're not interested, Roo.
I'm going to watch this now, Rudy. Don't worry about that.
One of his husbands looks like you with your shirt off, I tell you. And that's the icy or the other fella? Yeah. Let me summarise the Tiger King for you. It has everything. Tigers, lions, murder, a redneck thruple, a one-armed lesbian, alligator arson, mullets, pizza made from expired Walmart meat, a zoo-based sex cult, a crazy cat lady, and country songs about tigers and gay love. I hate myself that I love it so much. I'm giving this 5 stars.
Yeah!
5 stars.
Now, the other star of the show is Carol Baskin, who Joe Exotic is just obsessed with, but in a bad way. He hates her so much.
They both fight against each other all the time.
Yeah.
Joe Exotic is obsessed with an animal rights activist called Carol Baskin. Now, Carol also has a private zoo that she calls Big Cat Rescue. But people still pay to see her animals, and Carol is an evil genius. Not only did she murder her first husband and feed him to lions, of that there is no doubt, she also dresses her zoo up as a charity, and everybody that works there is a volunteer. Genius. I tell you what, this show is 17 kinds of weird, and me and my wife, Marta, can hardly make it through an episode without molesting one another. It's massively arousing.
All right. So that's Rudy's take on it. What has happened overnight?
Thanks to Carol Baskin of dragging us all out of bed this morning.
Carol Baskin will soon take control of the zoo formerly operated by Joe Exotic.
It was all part of Carol Baskin's plan.
Now Joe Exotic's pissed off.
Oh, here he is.
He can guarantee goddamn I'm going to put a cap in your ass.
Carol, she sure loves you.
Before I'm done with this, I'm going to have the bitches head in a jar.
Yep, and he's serving 22 years in prison right now for, going to get her knocked off and killing some tigers as well. But a court yesterday, judges announced it's that Carol Baskin will take control of Joe Exotic's zoo, which is the exact thing that Joe Exotic was fighting against the whole time. They hated each other. Now she's got his zoo. He will be a very, very angry, frustrated inmate today.
Yep, fuming in his jail cell.
So there'll be another documentary on this.
There'll be another series
Part
out
two,
of it.
There's no doubt about it.
So anyway, breaking news, Carol Baskin has taken over Joe Exotic's zoo. This man about to join us is as Holden as Elizabeth itself. He really is V8 supercar legend, Mark Scaife. Scaife, good morning. The announcement yesterday, how dramatic is it? What does it mean to the future of Holden and the sport?
Yeah, morning, guys. Well, it is dramatic because the factory team for Holden has sort of been the bestowed centrepiece, the heartland team that Holden fans have supported, whether it was way back in the Holden dealer team with Brock or Bond or right through the era of Lowndes and I at HRT or right through to right now with Van Gisbergen and Wincup. The Holden factory team is a pretty special place. And for that to be settled in an earlier termination. So they basically had an agreement till the end of 2021, and they've come to an agreement with Holden to cease that agreement at the end of this year. Now, that's in some ways it's a positive thing because we've got to be careful that if Holden are withdrawing from Australia, which was announced in mid-February this year, when that announcement was made, effectively there will be no more Holden branding. So it doesn't make any sense to have, you know, a Holden race car out there. But we're working hard on trying to get a GM alternative in there, and we're trying to make sure that we keep those Holden fans engaged.
What's the chances of that, Scaife? Without Holden, it's sort of, you know, in Adelaide we have a showdown with Port and the Crows. It's always been Holden v Ford. With no Holden there, it just seems like you're going to lose a bit of interest, unfortunately, isn't it? Is that fair enough or not?
Well, look, it is, Roo, and I think that's a pretty stark reality for us. You know, we were incredibly disappointed when Holden or GM made the decision to retire the brand. and for people all around the country, as you just said, you know, people Elizabeth or Fisherman's Bend in Melbourne or Lang Lang at the Proving Ground or all the dealerships around Australia, everybody was certainly gobsmacked by that news. But when I sat there and I saw the crowd at Adelaide and I had thousands of passionate fans come up to me and say, what's it mean for us now? I've always had a theory, you're better off to try to keep a customer than try to find a new one.
Yep.
So for us, those red fans, we need to find a way to gravitate them into what they can go for again now. And for me, a General Motors product would be important in that guise.
So okay. Do you have any intel on that? Are there discussions taking place?
Yes, certainly. Absolutely there are. And there's also discussions with other manufacturers. But
what sort of car, Scafey?
Well, the Chev Camaro, for instance, yeah, is a cool-looking car. So one of the things that we're going to have to gravitate away from is the mum and dad car of a Commodore or a Falcon, because the Mustang was so successful when it came back into vogue with us. Mm. We need to have a GM alternative that could fight against that. And maybe there's others out there. Maybe there's a Toyota Supra. Maybe there's a BMW M4. Maybe there's a Jag. Maybe there's an Alfa. You need to think about how successful the Volvo S60 was when it raced here. So, you know, there's a lot to do with our new product plan, but we do need to keep those Holden fans engaged.
Yep. Well, it sounds, I mean, that's got me thinking, definitely, with a few new cars that could come out. I mean, we do make some, we're not in Australia, but we have got some pretty nice cars that could join in and could get the enthusiasm up, Dits.
Yep, definitely. Has the sport, this is a very broad question, has the sport become too expensive?
The very short answer, Dits, is yes. I think, and just like the AFL and the NRL, we're going to use this COVID crisis as a time to recalibrate our sport.
Yep.
And our costs have been escalating. We need to reduce our costs. We need to still make sure that the quality of our entertainment and our on-track package is world's best practice. I would argue, in world terms, value for money, our racing is the best racing in the world.
Yep.
However, for a top team, there's too big a disparity between the top teams and the bottom teams. So we need to take that and bring that down and make it more of a level playing field for everybody and reduce those costs.
Mm. All right, well said. Let's hope there is a big and bright future. I'm sure there is. And, let's hope they can arrive at a big rivalry the way we've always had it here in Australia. Scafey, thanks so much for talking to us.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Scafe. He is a legend, Mark Scafe. Hey, Roo, just quickly, some of our text messages. I've got Dimmy from Seton saying, come on, Dits, wake up today and lift. You're a bit sluggish. So I'll take that on board.
Oh, come on.
No, I'll take it on board.
You're up, Dits.
You've got to get a bit of a rev.
I've seen you asleep on air.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You're better than
that. Hey, Dimmy, I'm nowhere near that at the moment. Hey, Bill from Ingle Farm, the live version of shutting down our town, where can we download it? It was amazing. So Mel, the button pusher, do you know how to do those sorts of things or not? Because that's not our department, but it is a
great
version.
Head to the website,
version.
Get it there.
All right. Go to the website, Bill, and you'll be able to find it. But what a great version.
Yeah, beautiful.
Not far away from Joe's joke, but the huge story that's broken over the last 24 hours out of America. Amelia Brace, Channel 7 reporter, hit by police with a baton, pelted with rubber bullets. She and her cameraman had to run for their lives. So big, big story. We'll cover that next. Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Roo, in the media, you've sometimes got to be careful what you say, and it can get blown out of proportion. I don't know if this story has been or is or not, but yesterday, Andrew McLeod has been doing a podcast for a while with former basketball champion Brett Maher.
Yep.
And this is what he had to say about your footy club.
I'm one of those guys that, like, if you ask me if I felt comfortable walking back into the football club, yep. I'd say no. Like, I don't walk into the change rooms and I don't sort of walk around. I just feel, I don't know, it's one of those things, and I've had this conversation with a lot of my old teammates, is that it's not a place that you feel, and you see lots of guys go back to their footy clubs and they feel welcome. For me, the Crows doesn't really have that vibe.
Right, okay.
It doesn't have that vibe where it feels like you're really welcome there.
Yeah.
And I've done some work there, right?
Yeah.
So with my programs and whatnot, but it's not a place that you sort of feel like it embraces you as a past player.
How do you respond to that?
I was really disappointed to hear it yesterday, to be honest. It's, you know, for everything that Andrew's done for the club and what he's given to the club, for him to feel like that, when I first heard it, I thought, why would he feel like that? Because, you know, he's been a great player, he's a great person, I know Rod Jamieson does a fantastic job of running the past players Association or Past Players Committee, and he has great blokes on there like Mark Bickley and Peter Caven and Kim Costa, current player like Tom Lynch. And as far as I'm concerned, I feel like they do a fantastic job. And I rang Rod Jamieson afterwards and said, is there anything I'm missing here? Why would he feel like that? And he said, no. But Andrew is not a sort of bloke that goes out and mixes a lot. He said, I rang him yesterday. I said, why are you like this? He said, I actually haven't got an issue with the past players. He's not a very social person, Andrew.
In that he just keeps to himself.
He does. He's a quiet, humble, country fella, a great fella. I love Andrew McLeod. I've had a great relationship with him. I played most of my career with him, and I continue to talk with him. So I was disappointed for him, to be honest. But then I did think about it a little bit. Every past player that goes back to their club feels awkward when they go back there, Dits.
Why do you say that?
Well, they do. And if you ask Andrew Jarman, if you ask Tony Modra, if you ask Sean Wren, if you ask Warren Treadray or Kane Corns or Dom Cassisi, when you go back into a club, you don't walk back in there and feel like it used to, because it's not your club anymore.
As a player, it's not.
No, it's not. When you go back there, you feel like you're stepping on, you know, you're in someone's backyard. It's not your joint anymore. Mm. And that's not because the current players want you to feel like that. It's not because the current administration make you feel like that. It's just not your place anymore.
The focus is on the current team, isn't it?
It is. It'd be like you going back to Channel 7 right now. How would you feel? Seriously. No, I'm not being stupid.
No, I'll take your point.
Or anyone going back to their old workplace. You go in there and you go, it's different, isn't it? Yeah, this is different. I don't know those people. And should I actually be standing here?
Mm.
Like, I feel like that a little bit, even though I'm in there every week. I'm a bit more comfortable because I'm doing it every week. But you could ask any of the blokes like that. So feeling uncomfortable, that is not foreign for any past player. But he went on further than that, and he said he spoke to past other players about it. I don't know who they are. I'd be really interested to know who they are.
But you seem to – I'm not trying to put any words in your mouth here. I've only observed you from a distance where you seem to be a very close bunch. You
know, we are a close bunch.
All of your past mates at the Crows get on pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a lot of players do catch up. We catch up once a year or twice a year.
Have golf.
It's the same with every footy club. Everyone's busy. You've got people living interstate or whatever. So, look, I'm very comfortable with the job that as I said, Rod Jamieson, Mark Bickley, Kim Costa, Peter Caven are doing. They're all ripping people, and they all do it off their own back, and they try their hardest to make the Past Players Association the best that it can be. I mean, we've got Chris McDermott, who's come back to the club for the first time in a while. Tony McGuinness has come back to the club. Just before that grab of on that podcast, Andrew McLeod was talking about Tony Modra. Tony Modra left the club in the most uncomfortable terms of anyone in the history of the Adelaide Football Club. He is the most loved player the Adelaide Football Club's ever had, and got sacked by Malcolm Blight.
Mm.
Malcolm Blight actually, at the 10-year reunion, said it was the greatest regret that he's got in his football life, the way he sacked Tony Modra.
Mm.
Tony Modra is back at the club working and dealing with people at home games.
Yep.
So Sean Wren left in bad terms with Gary Ayres. He's back at the club. Now,
Andrew's been working at the club as well, hasn't he?
Andrew has been working at the club for the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years doing his Indigenous program. And he's also been an assistant coach with the women's team.
Hmm.
So, it was a funny thing to say. And
but you rang him yesterday.
I did. I rang him a couple of times. He didn't answer. He rang me back. We had a good chat about it. And
now,
that's a
private conversation, but did it go well?
It did go well. Absolutely. I'm really disappointed in him for saying that publicly, because there's ways of dealing with things and the ways of not dealing with things. And this is the last thing the football club needs when they're trying to survive in the biggest financial crisis in the history of football, when people are pledging their money to their hard-earned money, money that they haven't got a lot of people, just to keep the club alive. It's the last thing the Crows need, on the back of a few other issues we've had, obviously. But if he feels that strongly about it, fair enough. Speak up. Maybe he did it so they'd listen more. I don't know, but I love Andrew McLeod, but I was surprised and disappointed he did that yesterday. And if he feels that strongly about it, he can help create a better culture. If he thinks that it's not right in the past, players, I said to him at the 98 Premiership reunion a couple of years ago, you know, get involved, do more, because that's what Jamo and Bickley and Costa and Cavo are doing. You've got to get off your bum and do something about any issue you've got, don't you, Dits? It's easy to say, oh, it's not right, or it's not wrong, or let's do it like this, let's do it like that. All the people are doing it off their own time and energy.
Yep.
If you don't like what's going on, get in and do it yourself.
Mm. Now, well, he is one of your absolute greatest.
He is.
If for him to say that, he must feel that way. So hopefully you can sort it out.
And a lot of, a lot of tweets I've seen, a lot of texts I've seen, supporters saying, this is not right. The greatest player of all time doesn't feel good going back in the club. And you know what? It's not right.
Mm.
But and it needs to be fixed, and Andrew needs to fix it himself, along with people who are at the football club. But it's got to be two-sided to fix it.
All right. You mentioned Mark Bickley. Here he is speaking on 5AA.
The women who he coaches, they speak so highly of him, and the engagement that he has there as an assistant coach, he's done that over a long period of time now, and with past players, Matthew Clark and Peter Cavan, amongst others, and he was inducted into the club's Hall of Fame and accepted that graciously. So there have been lots of occasions where I've seen it with my own eyes that he has been embraced by the club, so that's why it's come as a surprise for me.
So there you go, Mark Bickley, who's a part of the past players, as you mentioned. A lot of text messages coming in, as you can imagine, Roo. There are far too... I'm sorry, we want you to text them in, but we've just got hundreds here. This is from Shaz. So sad to hear that Andrew McLeod feels this way, but well said this morning, Roo, on radio. So proud of you. So there are a lot of people having their say that are so passionate about Andrew McLeod and about your club. So
I said to him, look, you can't come out and say that and not back it up with your facts publicly, because I said the members are going to want to know why you feel like that. So I'll look forward to his response, and his response was, tune into my podcast.
Bungie, that's a good way of advertising your podcast.
We'll be tuning into your podcast as I did last night.
Now, what's
it doing
called? Bungie and...
Bungie and Brettster.
That's it, Bungie and Brettster.
Look, we all want as a bloke who's had more than half his life at the footy club, you want the footy club to be the best you can. Is there always work to do? Yes. But also know that blokes like Rod Jamieson are doing the best they can. So hopefully it can be sorted out, and he can feel comfortable walking back into the club.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. Let's hope that comedy runs in the family.
Please welcome the new face of comedy superstardom.
On Ruin Dits for Breakfast, it's time for Joe's Joke.
Oh, I love this on a Wednesday morning. People have already texted in some jokes, haven't they, Ruin?
Yeah, they actually have, Dits. Here's a joke for Joe. This is, what is it? I'll get it in a minute. You know why coronavirus won't last too long?
Why is that?
Because it's made in China.
Oh, no. Good one.
You know, there you go.
China. Mm. All right, let's go to Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Dit.
How are you, mate?
Good.
Now, you're back at footy training and everything, aren't you?
Yeah.
How's it been going?
Good.
Yeah? It's not too cold and wet out there on a Friday night?
No.
Who's your coach?
Dad.
Oh, okay. So you'll get a game then. You'll get picked. Hey?
You'll be in the centre.
You'll be captain, playing the centre. Yeah.
Win the best and fairest.
Everything. Righto. Now, how many jokes today, Joe?
Two.
Okay. Give us the first one.
What do ninjas and farts have in common?
Oh, what? What do ninjas and farts have in common? I'm looking forward to the answer of this. What is it?
They're both silent and deadly.
Like that.
Not bad, Joe.
Yeah, like that.
Not bad, Joe.
Dad does that in the studio here.
Yeah.
All right. What's the second joke?
The teacher had three students. Their names were Pants, Willie, and Pee.
Right.
When the teacher went out of the classroom, Pants went on the cupboard, Willie went in the cupboard, and Pee was running around the classroom. When the teacher came back in the classroom, she said, "Pants down, Willie out, and Pee in the corner."
That's a little bit...
bit risque, bit rude.
Bit rudy.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Well
have
done,
a good day
Joe. Have a good day, mate.
Yep.
Good on you, mate.
Ice cream night tonight.
Oh, ice cream.
Except you too, Dad.
Yeah, all right, Joe. Thank you. That's nice. All right, 133353, ring in if you want to tell a gag.
Kids, keep it clean,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, no willy jokes. You're all fart jokes. Please, fart out.
Hell. All right, 133353, give us a call now. Oh, 8:28, time for Joe's jokes. Joe Ricciuto, a little bit rude today.
No, he was. I'll give him
bit
a smack.
Of, oh, a bit of soap on the tongue tonight. Yep. Mustard on the tongue.
I'll tell you what, though, the phones are going hot, and we've got Vito from...
Tattachilla?
Where are you from, Vito?
So hello.
Hello, Vito. Where are you from, mate?
Tattachilla.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I know.
Beautiful. Down south.
Yeah,
McLaren. How old are you, Vito?
Five.
You might be our, is he our youngest
He's our youngest
comedian?
One so far. So are you in reception?
Yes.
And what's your teacher's name?
Richard Frowning.
Right.
Who, Mr. Frowning?
Say it one more time for us.
Mrs. Frowning.
Okay.
Turn that
Vito,
frown upside
what's,
down.
What's your favourite part about reception? What do you like doing?
Going down the slide.
Yeah, beauty. Going down the slide. All right, have you got a joke for us?
Yeah.
What is it?
Why do ghoulies have big nostrils?
Why do they have nostrils?
But they have big fingers.
Oh, yeah, Vito, you're not talking about picking your nose, are you?
Yeah.
Vito, can I ask you a little question?
Don't ask that question.
Do you eat it?
Oh.
Your boogies?
No.
You don't?
No. Of course
You're
not.
You're a liar, aren't you?
Good on you, Vito.
They all eat
Well
it.
Done.
That's good for
You'll
you.
Be a good boy today. Well done. All right. I know you will be.
Let's head out to St. Peter's. G'day, Rory.
G'day, Mark.
How are you, Rory? Is this Rory Matchos?
Yes.
Oh,
it
my
is.
Goodness.
You're on the radio.
Yes.
How old are you, Rory?
Great.
He's no. great.
How old are you?
Seven,
righto. So what year does that make you in? Year two?
No, year one.
Oh, year one. Gee, you sound very grown up. What are your favourite subjects at school? What are your favourite subjects?
PE.
PE. Good on you, Rory.
Now, now that I know who you are, you're pretty smart at school. Do you get good marks, do you?
Yes.
Yes? What's your best subject besides PE?
Art.
What do you like about art?
You just get to draw and do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's good. We love kids love drawing, don't
Being
they,
creative.
Rory?
All right. Now, have you got a joke for us, Rory?
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Why did Mrs. Tomato turn red?
Why did Mrs. Tomato turn red? Why?
Because she saw Mr. Green pee over the fence.
Oh, there's another pee joke.
It's all about weed today.
I'm going to tell your dad off, I think, Rory, for letting you get through with that one. Yeah. Have a great day, mate.
Okay, see ya.
See ya, buddy. Rory. Well done. Yeah, good gag today.
Couple of good gags. Yeah, you have to
get... A bit R-rated today.
A little bit R-rated, but the kids are a bit naughty. That's all right. It's a greatest of all time. We're up to number 14,
14.
Is it? Wow. Who did we have yesterday?
Was it Cold Chisel yesterday or was that the day before? Yeah, 13. Cold Chisel yesterday.
Yeah, we're up to 13.
Yeah.
All right, we'll find out who's next on the hit list.
Now. Like a Sherpa lost in the mountains.
High on a hill was a lonely goat.
We're on a journey to find. The goat. You helped us build the list. Now we're counting them down each day from 20. Not bad. To number one. Get your goat on with goat soap at Chemist Warehouse. Triple M's goat.
We're down to number 13, Roo, and each day it's been a little controversial. I think today will be no exception.
Do you want me to go through them quickly?
Yeah.
In Excess at 20, Midnight Oil 19, Green Day 18, Elton John at 17, I can't even read my own writing at 16, Jimmy Barnes, Nirvana 15, Cold Chisel 14.
Yes. Number 13 today, I'll let you announce it.
I refuse to say it.
All right, let's play this then.
Guns and Roses. Born of the Sunset Strip, California, 1985.
Big badass version of rock and roll.
In the early days, '90s, their partying and rebellious attitude earned them the nickname the most dangerous band in the world.
Guns N' Roses out of Los Angeles.
Back in the day, they were the band to see on the Hollywood club scene.
We've been dancing with fists of brownstone.
Guns N' Roses was the real deal. Violent, aggressive.
Get in the ring, motherfucker, and I'll kick your little ass.
Of the street and for the street.
They say you guys are cocky. They say you're insolent. They say, honestly speaking, you guys are a bunch of wackos. That's the image you guys have got as far as the critics are concerned.
We just don't take any garbage off anybody, that's all. It's simple. And a lot of people think that's problems.
In 1987, they took the world stage.
You in the jungle, baby!
With the massive album Appetite for Destruction, one of the highest-selling rock albums of all time. They followed it up with a bit of whistling on GNR Lies. And then went even bigger with the double album, Use Your Illusion 1
Living and Die.
And 2. Guns N' Roses' Use Your Illusion tour was one of the biggest and longest concert tours the world's ever seen.
The world's hottest rock act, Guns N' Roses.
There's not one single solitary thing in my life that it comes close. It has any kind of priority over this band.
The story of Guns N' Roses is not a rock and roll fairy tale. Sex, drugs and rock and roll? Yeah. But the band also had countless legal battles.
What's so civil about war anyway?
And bust up after bust up within the band. Until in the end, it became too much. Axl hated Slash.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Guns N' Roses hated Axl.
Axl, if you're watching this, I want to challenge you to a fight.
Who knows what happened? They split up, they got back together, they've toured the world again, but they never made another great record. Fingers crossed there's still time. From the dirty streets of Hollywood...
This song is dedicated to all the Guns and Nico Roses fans that stuck with us.
...to rock and roll glory.
And to all those opposed...
Well?
Yeah, they had an appetite for it.
Guns Number 13 and the greatest of all time, the Gunners here on Triple M.